most of the data for the efficacy of marine reserves come from the tropics. Can you give us examples on where we have good solid data from temperate regions like ours?
I'll give you a couple of examples from temperate regions, and I'll draw from the systems that I study, which again are kelp forest systems. And one example where, again, there's been a history of protected areas of various kinds is in Southern California. And within the Southern California Bight, there's about 6 or 7 protected areas that have been around for a while. Again, just like the rest of the state, they're postage stamps. They're really small. But there's something, at least, that could be assessed. And not long ago, a paper was published by 2 scientists that surveyed all of those marine protected areas in Southern California, as well as areas of comparable habitat outside. And that survey and comparison demonstrated really dramatic differences in many species that are especially targeted for fisheries down south. The other would be an example from the more recent marine reserve network that was established throughout the Santa Barbara Channel Islands. Those were established about 5 years ago, and just like the Marine Life Protection Act, they were supposed to evaluate those marine reserves or the ecosystems and any changes over the recent 5 years. And likewise, they produced a series of reports that looked at the effects of fishes in the kelp forests, and in that case, lobster and other species. And so that, again, there's some really fascinating results that have been revealed from monitoring those marine reserves, and they're all no-take marine reserves, throughout the Channel Islands. One of the most dramatic effects is the lobster, the response of lobster, which many people thought, as many of you know, lobster get up and they're supposed to storm around and go off to breed and then come back or whatever. And people didn't think that they would stay around in these reserves long enough to respond by growing larger or being more abundant. And yet, work that was done in conjunction with a group of lobster fishermen to looking at the changes in the abundance and the size of those lobsters revealed some dramatic responses in those as well. So those are a couple of examples.
Okay. Well, I think we ought to mention where we are right now in relationship to that, because one of the longest running marine reserves in the entire state, actually on the entire West Coast, was and is right here. The Hopkins Marine Life Refuge was created not by the MLPA, and not in 1984 with the rest of them, but not in the 1970s, but in 1931 by a very pioneering and interesting lady named Julia Platt, who was the mayor of Pacific Grove at the time, and determined that the impact of the canneries, the sardine canneries, which were right next door, was so incredibly prodigious that she wanted to leave something behind so that the marine life of Monterey Bay could be repopulated when the bay returned to a better state. She designated this area right in front of Hopkins here as a fully protected marine reserve in 1931. She had not the power to do that, being the mayor of Mississippi Grove, but she took her case to the state legislature, and the state legislature, which had never ever done this before and has never ever done it since, gave the town of Pacific Grove the authority to regulate the lands from the high tide down to 60 feet deep. So Julia declared the Marine Life Refuge here. And as a consequence of that, when the bay began to get cleaner after the canneries went away, there was one place that was cheeked by jowl abalone all up and down the shoreline and down into the rocks. There was one place where you could go and study the reproduction of abalone, and that was here. Every place else was more or less picked over. Interestingly, when the otters came back in about 1964, they came around Point Pinos and headed back into Monterey Bay. They found one place where their food supply was cheek by jowl abundant. That was here. The otters came back here, they made a beeline for the Hopkins shoreline, and have been here ever since. So that amazingly pioneering woman in 1931, who pushed against all everyone else's sense, everyone else's politics to get this done here, established for the very first time that it was a really good idea to protect the shoreline. It could have far-reaching effects.